Thoughts of a Victorian Debutante. The 1841 Diary of Marianne Nicholson. Lotherton Hall in West Yorkshire is a country house that was owned by the Gascoigne family. Marianne Nicholson was the maternal grandmother of Sir Alvery Gascoigne, who gifted Lotherton to Leeds City Council in 1968. The hall is now one of 9 sites run by Leeds Museums and Galleries. As well as being an excellent example of an Edwardian country house, Lotherton holds some of Leeds' 19th century decorative art collections and the Gascoigne archives, which are a valuable source of research. One of the objects in the archive is a diary belonging to Marianne Nicholson, written in 1841. Marianne Nicholson of Waverley Abbey, Surrey, was born in 1818. Her grandfather was William Smith, the abolitionist. One of her great aunts was Elizabeth Fry, the prison reformist and pioneer nurse. Her first cousin and best friend growing up was Florence Nightingale. In 1851, she married Douglas Galton, who became Florence Nightingale's right-hand man in hospital design and a pioneer in healthy housing, among many other achievements. A few other notable friends are Charles Dickens, Ida Lovelace, William Wordsworth, and Elizabeth Gaskell. Her whole life, Marianne mixed with the upper classes of Georgian and Victorian England. Her Unitarian family was linked to some of the richest Quaker businesses and banking families, including the Barclays, Darwins, Fry's, Bevans, Lloyds, Buxton's, and Wedgwood's. This upper-class, liberal upbringing opened up a window to politics and world events that make reading this diary belonging to a mere young Victorian woman fascinating. For her age, Marianne had surprising insight into what was going on. Despite lots of references to the weather and handsome soldiers, she comes across as an informed and intelligent young person who held her own opinion. I think if she lived today, she would be called an influencer. Marianne was beautiful, popular, a gifted musician and soprano singer. Florence Nightingale described her as someone who lived for the moment and compared her to a geyser that could flare up with power at any time. She described her as having a sense of humour that could make my bones shake with laughter and be stiff in consequence for 24 hours. She is the one I both love and yet fear the most. Dr. Kathleen Clibbins is a researcher with the Lotherton History Group. She's been transcribing and researching Marianne Nicholson's diary and will help us to understand the gossip and what was actually happening in 1841. Let's listen to some of Marianne's words and see if we can glean any more information.
January, Friday the 1st. Mr. Croft is still the hero of the day. We work him from morning till night, but fortunately his patience is inexhaustible and he is ready with his lessons at all hours. Miss and W. Robertson left us this morning. Our party now consists of Mrs. Flowers and her 3 daughters, all who would reside, having departed. Mild weather still continues.
Hi, Kath. So, who's Mr. Croft?
Well, Stephanie, glad you asked, because he's the first person we meet. I believe that Mr. Croft, who is a German by birth, is both Marianne and Laura, her sister's German and music teacher.
January, Saturday 2nd. Messrs. Dodds and Fliggs dined, the former being very full of lumps of sugar, being in connection with the nerve of volition, situated somewhere short of the middle of the forehead, and many other oddities and impossibilities. We walked to Farnham.
So what's volition, and what's it got to do with lumps in the middle of the forehead?
I think it's to do with what was then a medicalised belief of phrenology, which is when people felt the lumps and bumps of somebody's head. The belief behind it was that the brain was a muscle and you could form those lumps by using bits of your brain more than you used others, volition being willpower. But they also did things like anger, and they believed you could pinpoint thieves and bad people as well as good people just by feeling somebody's head.
January, Sunday the 3rd. Bitter northeastern violent storms of snow in the afternoon. Walked to Tilford Church and thought we'd better have stayed at home to judge by the result. Captain Rale went. Everyone here is reading Miss Martineau's novel of the Hour and the Mad, and very various the opinions respecting it. As a story, it seems to make few striking points, but everyone appears to agree in thinking it would increase the interest in the slavery question, which is doubtless Miss Martineau's great aim and object. Her character of Toussaint Louverture is most beautifully drawn, but no one here shall allow the story itself is interesting. What can their hearts be made of?
Who was Miss Martineau, and could you tell us something about the book and the character?
Miss Martineau is Harriet Martineau, and she was a journalist, a writer, and a well-known author. She popularised what at the time was called political theory, but we might call it social theory or even sociology, where she studied the effects of the living conditions on the people who lived in those conditions. She was born in 1802. She was the daughter of a Unitarian cloth manufacturer of Norwich, and they were of Huguenot descent. They were quite a progressive family, as the girls, four girls, were educated to the same academic standards as her four brothers, although they were educated at home. Harriet was deaf from the age of 12, so concentrated on writing and wrote early from the age of 12 in magazines and various pamphlets and then books. By 1832, she had become financially self-sufficient. She took herself off to America, where she got very interested in the anti-slavery cause.
So what was her book, The Hour of the Man?
It's the partially fictionalised story of a slave who became Haitian leader, Toussaint Louverture. He is a very important person in history, really, who has only recently been rediscovered. There's an excellent book, won the Wolfson Prize, called The Black Spartacus, which I recommend. What was remarkable about him was he was the son of an educated slave who became himself the steward on a plantation. Toussaint was involved in the only successful slave revolt that happened to be on the island San Domingo, which is now a split island with Haitian San Domingo. He rose against and fought successfully against the French, who were the occupiers at that time. He became lauded because he won his freedom, and he won the slaves' freedom in Haiti, and was only later, through the machinations of politics, isolated and unfortunately died quite early on. It marks the revolts and his escalation, and it notes the conflicts between various characters and his struggles, his relationships with his family and his friends and the other slaves, and why he became leader. Toussaint, in 1791, transformed himself into the revolutionary hero, and by 1801, just 10 years later, he was the general and the governor of San Domingo and an international statesman. He was later isolated by the French, as I said, so quite early on his life was shortened. However, he was at the time a most famous leader in the world. He was talked about and was referred to at the time as the Black Napoleon.
That's why Marianne was so excited about him then.
Yes, because at the time, although in Britain slavery had been abolished, it still continued in other countries and the plantations still existed. And her family were very much embedded in that Unitarian dissenters' belief that all men are free. That's why it was important to Marianne.
So as a young influencer, shall we say, Marianne really wanted to put her point of view across to those people who she socially mixed with.
That's right. I mean, you can tell that by her end statement in her own diary, is what can their hearts be made of? I think Marianne is trying to understand how people cannot see that the abolitionist cause is the right cause. She's preparing for the conversation she will have with all those other people, her family, of lots of other people who are influencers in government, etc., and elsewhere. And she wants to be able to discuss this point with a level of information and support for the abolitionist movement in its widest context.
Thanks so much, Kath, for all your work and all the information about Marianne's 1841 diary. And I'm really looking forward to our next conversation.